Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about pregnenolone, a critical hormone for emotional and physical health. New information from Arnold Scipione on this topic. We're going to look at diet and exercise can reduce the protein buildups that are linked to Alzheimer's. That's from UCLA. And we're going to show you how having the right amount of calcium can lower your colorectal cancer risk, and a lot more on health and healing. Then we're going to examine some smaller issues and larger issues, a lot of them. For example, we're going to look at how the insurance company's greed is taking over $1 trillion a year out of our economy for their profits. We don't need them at all. I'll explain why. Also, a whistleblower on medical research fraud. Interesting article. It was in Der Spiegel, a highly respected German publication. And he says, quote, positive results on research are better for your career, which also would go on to talk about how if you didn't have good results with research, or you were bribed to come up with good results. And this is an interesting look at almost all of science today. Then we're going to look at, from the environment, the lethal threat of lower fruit and vegetable yields as the globe gets warmer. I don't think people are paying attention to how serious it is when you can't grow food because it's too extreme in weathers. Also, a former APEC official says Israel should get no U.S. aid without ending the oppressive settlements. We'll see about that. And also, we'll talk about how Israel is now calling on all of its citizens to track and report any activist activity, and then they go after them. Quote, a ruthless war against people telling the truth about Israel, inside Israel. And we're going to look at how one very well-known journalist became a vegan, and why, and what that means. And also, a Dr. Gideon Paleo says that because our climate is getting worse, warmer, one of the most important and immediate things we can all do is go to a plant-based diet. Also, our talkback segment today is about the Clintons. And we're going to start with Nadia Aliyah from the Middle East Eye. And she says, Hillary Clinton is no feminist. Just look at her stance on Palestine. But then I wanted people to understand who's behind Clinton, who's supporting Clinton. And as I mentioned, it's not just the candidate themselves, but who they hold allegiances with. These are the people that end up running our governmental agencies, that are in all the think tanks to determine our economic policy, our foreign policy, our domestic policy. Whether we want to put money into poor neighborhoods or into richer bankers' hands. One of those is Robert Kagan. You've never heard of him? You should have, because he is like the godfather of all neoconservatives in America today. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they all are influenced by him. He's very powerful. And he was the author, along with his friend William Crystal, of Project for a New American Century. These are the people who were not elected, but they are enormously influential when it comes to determining what we do. Hillary Clinton was just given their endorsement. So think about that for a moment. When America's most powerful and respected neoconservative, the ultimate free market capitalist, the one who's never seen a war that we're in that he couldn't support, endorses Hillary Clinton, then what's the likely outcome? But then today I wanted to do a little fact-checking to let you know how much influence the Clintons have in the media. And I've been doing this now for a month. Every single day, three times a day, I review all the articles in the New York Times. They're all anti-Trump, those that are about Trump, and they're all favorable on Clinton. How's that possible? With her and her husband's past, with a gold mine of information that you could discuss in a responsible and reasonable way based upon historical fact, why aren't you showing what disqualified for her based upon her and her husband's previous actions being present? There's a reason why. I'll get into that. Also, considering the Clintons who want to know what everyone's tax records about and medical records, where did the donations from Hillary and Bill Clinton go? You'll be surprised. And also today we're going to hear briefly about a man who became self-sufficient and now the city wants to throw him out or throw him in jail. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about. Also remember, please write down these two numbers. They're very important. I'm on the air 6 days a week live, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at noon, Eastern Standard Time, and Tuesday evening with the most listened to of my programs, the Progressive Commentary Hour. If you're not able to listen over the internet, or you're not by a land-based station, then any portable listening device, you can call this number and listen live. And we just recently upgraded it so that more people can tune in. I believe last week there was a total of 273,000 minutes of people listening. So that's a big number. 701-719-9986 is the archive number to listen live. 701-801-3662. Again, if you want to listen live, Monday to Friday, noon to 1, or Tuesday, 7 to 8, call 701-801-3662. 701-801-3662. But if you want to, if you miss the show, if you can't listen at noon, you're busy and you want to listen at 11 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, you can go to the archives and you can download up to 5 shows and listen to them. Here's the number you use for listening on the archives, 701-719-9976. Again, 701-719-9976. Now, there's an important nutrient that most people might have heard of, but more often than not, are not sure how would it apply to them. It's called pregnenolone, preg, P-R-E-G, nen, N-E-N, alone, A-O-L-O-N-E, preg, nenolone. It's very important for both our emotional and physical health. Why? Because after the age of 27, everyone enters the biochemical process of advanced aging. Now, you may be healthy and eat well and think well and be de-stressed and exercise, in which case you will not be the same biological age starting at 27 as someone else who may have drank and taken drugs and eaten a standard diet. And then what happens is that our memory begins to slightly fade, generally where it's not even perceptible. But once we get into our 40s and 50s and 60s, then it's very noticeable. Maybe not to others, but we're realizing, what was the name of that movie I just saw? What did I just read? What's that person's name? I know. Things like that. And we also notice that we don't have as much energy as we once had. And that begins to bother us. Our body begins to decline. We're more susceptible to intermittent anxiety or depression. And then it can advance to the point where one day you have dementia or Alzheimer's. Or if not those brain conditions, arthritis, high blood pressure, diabetes, some form of coronary artery disease, or inflammation in our eyes, cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. So we then say, gee whiz, what can I do? Well, you've got to make a major change. You can't just change one or two things. You have to really get rid of all those animal foods and high acidic foods, including coffee. And by the way, for women who have had fibrocystic breast, uterine fibroids, the number one causative factor is coffee. So you get rid of the coffee, you frequently can have things really make a difference, start to clean up. And then you have to change, and it might take, realistically, 1 to 2 to 3 years, if you do everything right, till you can make a major change and rebalance your biochemistry. Can't be done just immediately. But you want to rebalance your hormones in the process, because how fast we age or slow we age, how healthy we are as we age, is frequently determined by the health and balance, what we call homeostasis of our hormones. So there's one hormone that's naturally occurring, and that's pregnenolone. And pregnenolone is a precursor to the body's other natural occurring hormones, including DHEA, progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, and of course the one I talk a lot about, cortisol, cort, C-O-R-T, isol, I-S-O-L. Now cortisol, when you're anxious, when you've eaten a high sugar meal, when you're depressed, when you're angry, cortisol can rise. And as cortisol rises, it plays havoc upon all the cells in your body. And it can literally kill you. You can die of a heart attack because of cortisol, but it really ages the brain also. And pregnenolone is synthesized directly from cholesterol and is therefore very important for all these different body processes. Now, you really take a dip. You lose upwards of 50 to 60% of your cortisol by the time you hit 70. So when we have over 100 million Americans today who are over 45, that means that we have a lot of hormone rebalancing to do. So one of the ways you can help is have your blood chemistry on hormones tested and check your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and your DHEA levels. And then you can use molecularly identical forms of, for example, DHEA. That's an easy one, 15 to 20 milligrams a day, and that's kind of like the mother hormone. It can do so many things in the body. It's inexpensive, and it really can help you. And that would be the first one I would replace. Also, supplementing pregnenolone, the molecular identical to the pregnenolone in the body, that would be important. Now, the raw material to create pregnenolone comes from wild yam, and which are grown throughout the world. Not difficult to find. They're not the same as a yam. It's a wild yam. That will help. But also you can do some other things. You can enhance memory and cognition by boosting acetylcholine levels and increasing what is called neurogenesis. That means the creation of new neurons, neurogenesis, and regulating gamma aminobutyric acid, or GABA, or GABA. And that also helps your pregnenolone and improves memory and cognition. And acetyl, A-C-E-T-Y-L-C-H-O-L-I-N-E, acetylcholine, that's very important as a neuro, meaning your brain, transmitter that helps brain cells communicate with each other. And many Alzheimer's medications work on inhibiting the breakdown of acetylcholine. And that is why we always suggest a natural approach. You see, neurons, which are your brain cells, send and receive electrical signals to and from other parts of the body. That means they control all the functions in the human body. And neurogenesis gives hope to those with chronic debilitating diseases like Alzheimer's, Huntington's, and Parkinson's. And neurogenesis is sensitive to hormone influences. And that's why the effects of pregnenolone on neurogenesis in young and old rats in one study, and it was shown that pregnenolone sulfate increased nerve growth, both 3 to 20-month-old rats, and the research concluded that pregnenolone could prevent the appearance of age-related cognitive disturbances. And GABA, inexpensive, easy to use, is another critical neurotransmitter involved in proper cognition function. an inhibitory neurotransmitter that aids in relaxation and sleep. And GABA acts as a balancer for the brain, helping balance excitation with inhibition. And pregnenolone can inhibit or enhance the activity of GABA receptors, thus helping modulate nervous system function. Now, any time that you're stressed or any time you're fatigued, that's going to play havoc with your biochemistry, because when you're stressed, you're far more susceptible to having a high blood pressure, hypertension, and that also can increase fatigue, and then you end up frequently with a weakened immune system. Those are just some of the things or side effects of being stressed. But pregnenolone comes along and helps to rebalance that. There are a lot of studies showing that pregnenolone's effects on enhancing job performance in students and workers. It can help you learn and remember difficult tasks, and it helps you at almost all levels emotionally, especially during periods of stress, because the output of your adrenal glands, your adrenal hormones, increase. And increased output of these hormones has been associated with increased fatigue. And we've seen it time and again, where people say, I don't know what's wrong with me, Gary. I'm just always tired. Well, check your adrenal glands, and more often than not, you have adrenal exhaustion. So that's one of the things that pregnenolone helps with, and also it helps lower excess cholesterol in the body. So you see, we have a lot that we can do with pregnenolone, with DHEA, with phosphatidylcholine, and there's a lot of scientific evidence showing that it works. Now, separately, there's a new study from UCLA that shows that a good diet and exercise can reduce a protein that builds up in the brain, and that's an amyloid plaque-building protein. And that, the more you have, the more advanced you are in your Alzheimer's and dementia. So we want to be able to get to a good, healthy, plant-based diet with lots of raw foods, fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, the Mediterranean diet. It is linked with lower levels of plaque and tangles on the brain scans. And I'm sure many of you already know that the Mediterranean diet is rich in organic fruits and vegetables, legumes, whole grains. They do have fish, and very low in meat and dairy. And therefore, olives and olive oil, high in monounsaturated fats, and that's good. So, this was published in the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. Quote, the fact that we could detect this influence of lifestyle at a molecular level before the beginning of serious memory problems surprises us. Well, maybe you, not all the rest of us who've been in the field a long time, and see the cause and effect of this. And also, we have found that increased calcium intake lowers your risk of colorectal cancer. This was a part of the Nurses' Health Study and the Health Professionals' Follow-Up Study. And it was published in the International Journal of Cancer. They looked at 88,509 women who were nurses over a 32-year period, and 47,740 men enrolled in the Health Professionals' Follow-Up Study for almost 28 years. And what they found was, by measuring calcium, that when you had the amount of calcium your body needs, you are far less susceptible to having cancers of the colon. And that's good. That's important. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health nutrition. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. I'm going to share some insights now that I feel are important for those of you who don't know all the facts but would like to know more about the rationale for voting for one of the existing candidates. Now, I have explained why I believe that based upon the progressive principles, about 30 different principles, such as closing down most of our overseas military bases, slashing the military industrial spy budget by at least 70%, by completely repealing the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act, no longer allowing spying on any Americans, closing down and deconstructing these spying operations, stopping the militarization of the police, having universal health care, being able to de-ghettoize America, putting our funds in infrastructure where people would be able to be gainfully employed, encouraging corporations to have a one-time, once-a-year flat income tax, a corporate tax. That corporate tax would be, let's say, 20%, which is far less than what they're charged now, but they're not paying that. The richest corporations always pay almost no taxes, and this way they would have to. That would gain us money. Also, with universal health care, you wouldn't have defensive medicine. That would save about $200 to $300 billion, and them testing you and treating you, knowing that you're not don't need that, but they don't want to be sued. By stopping all of the suits against doctors by having no malpractice, instead anything that's a legitimate claim can be resolved from a universal fund to properly help the person who's been injured, but not hurt the doctor. And separately, to have more consumer oversight into medicine, into all regulatory agencies, and also to reverse Citizens United and to take out Alex from being able to do any lobbying at the state level, no more writing bills, making them laws that serve their interest, and completely reevaluating and rescinding GATT, NAFTA, our participation in the World Trade Organization. These are just some of the things that are progressive programs that we're advocating. Jill Stein, Rocky Anderson, Ralph Nader, and at least half of those, Gary Johnson, support. However, unfortunately, Hillary Clinton supports none of the above. What does she support? Well, she supports a neocon agenda. Now, that's fine for her and the people who want to have that, but do you really understand who's behind that? See, it's not Hillary Clinton. It's the people who are the neocons who control Washington, D.C., and most of the think tanks, and the experts who are aligning with this neocon, this worldview, this new world order. And the grandfather of all that, or the godfather of all of it, is a person who is the most respected person probably in the neocon community, Robert Kagan, very bright man, and he is the leading neoconservative. Now, what does that mean? Well, he is the co-author, along with William Kristol, of the Project for a New American Century. That was the blueprint for all the neocons that they orchestrated prior to 9/11, and they're the ones who pushed for Cheney and Bush and their entire White House apparatchiks to get into power and facilitate their desires. For example, Robert Kagan was a senior fellow at the right-wing Brookings Institute think tank, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, had an Ivy League background, attended Yale and got a master's in School of Government at Harvard. He was George Shultz's speechwriter, and George Shultz was Reagan's Secretary of State. He also was the 2008 John McCain foreign policy advisor on his run for president. And also, he believes, according to a 2006 writing, that Russia and China are the greatest enemies of the United States is neoliberalism, a position that Hillary Clinton holds to this day. And his writings place terrorism and al-Qaeda second to threats of Western efforts to promote liberal policies around the world. On global warming in the environment? No. On a living wage? No. On giving poor people a chance to have a decent living? No. On using diplomacy to resolve conflicts instead of militarization? No. So you get an idea that he supports the major Fortune 500 corporations, the Business Roundtable, and Wall Street. big believer in Wall Street. So he even wrote an article called, in World Affairs, called Neocon Nation. And he laid out U.S. moralism across the world stage, that the U.S. should act alone, if need be, to promote American-style democracy. Well, take a look at our democracy. It's democracy that you can buy. You can buy presidents, you can buy everyone, it seems, with rare exception, in our government. And so that's his belief. And therefore, Hillary Clinton is a big supporter, and in return, he endorsed her. Now, who's his wife? Well, she is, again, one of the best and brightest. Her name is Victoria Nuland, N-U-L-A-N-D. And she just happens to have been selected to be Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the U.S. Department of State. And during Bill Clinton's administration, she was Chief of Staff to Deputy Secretary of State Strobe Talbott, another massive neocon. And then she served as Deputy Director for former Soviet Union Affairs. And under Bush, she served as the Principal Deputy Foreign Policy Advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney, and then a U.S. Ambassador to NATO. And she was the point person behind the coup in Ukraine. So these are the people who are very close to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. Now, then we have to look at, will the media tell us any of this? And this is the point that I'm interested in. The media has been extremely reluctant to examine the background and policies and the outcome of those policies of the Clintons, because she was co-president under Bill Clinton, as he will be under her, but she was the dominant force. He was the more charismatic, easygoing, nice personality to the public. Her, not so much. So understand that we only know the Clintons to the degree that the media allows us to. Now, we now have found 20,000 emails leaked that show the Clinton PR machine orchestrated Sanders' defeat through the media. That was completely unethical, but they did it with the full control over Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who had run Clinton's previous try for president and as her campaign director, and she ran the DNC. And it shows how close the Clintons were in controlling the mainstream media. And you could say, how is that possible? Well, how about CNN and Politico had their articles pre-approved by the pro-Clinton DNC prior to release? And the Washington Post co-sponsored a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton. And the DNC's communication director, Miranda, wrote hit pieces that were then submitted to the Wall Street Journal for publication to discredit Sanders. And currently, the control over the media is done through the Clinton Foundation. And during the debates, I'm sure all of you saw, time and again, it was clear from exit polls that Sanders won. And yet you would never know that by looking at the media. And I've been looking at the New York Times every day. They have some good articles in there on some different topics. But when it comes to politics, there's this extraordinary bias. And on some behalf of the Clinton machine, now, here's where you should be concerned. Major media organizations have donated to the Clinton Foundation. This is a matter of fact, but we didn't know this until it was investigated, that NBC Universal, Reuters, News Corporation, that's the Daily News, Fox, Turner Broadcasting, Newsmax, Google, Bloomberg, Mort Zuckerman, owner of the New York Daily News and U.S. News and World Report, Comcast, Time Warner, Viacom, 20th Century Fox. Those are but some of the organizations that have donated to the Clinton Foundation. And then the Clintons then select people frequently from these major groups or the business roundtable or the major corporations to come in to be their special advisors. Like Hillary Clinton has a person in her campaign who would be in her administration from Monsanto. And her vice president pick is a person who is pro the Trans-Pacific Partnership and other neoliberal agendas. Didn't even make an attempt to bring in anyone from Bernie Sanders or Jill Stein's to appeal to the younger, more idealistic and true liberal constituencies. That said, at the end, you can choose whomever you want. I'm merely giving you background that there's a whole lot of people surrounding these people, and they have their own agendas. We're going to play a piece now to give you an idea of how this works. And we're going to pay a piece on Clinton, and I want you to listen carefully because it gives us the insights that otherwise we would never know, that the mainstream media never discusses. Please listen.
Hypothetically, Russia gives you access to a trove of hacked, stolen emails. Would that hypothetically give you any pause? Ethically, would it be an issue for you?
Now, let's not talk about hypotheticals. Let's talk about the real case. Hillary Clinton on Fox is trying to undermine our publication, trying to draw attention away from the fact that she conspired with the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, her former campaign manager, was head of the Democratic Party, to subvert an election in the United States. What is the result of that? The result is the free market of electoral candidates was ruined. Instead, you had a regulatory organization, the DNC, abusing its regulatory function to favor one candidate above another, including by pumping out black media campaigns trying to undermine Bernie Sanders in complicity with a lot of the media.
That was Julian Assange giving you an idea that here is an organization that is supposed to be objective and fair to all Democratic candidates, but it's not. It's completely stacking the deck against Bernie Sanders and for Hillary Clinton. And what does Hillary do the moment this is exposed, the moment these immoral acts occur? She hires privately Wasserman Schultz to be a special advisor. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you at least pretend that you care about ethics and honesty and objectivity and hire someone who is not aligned? Well, I cannot answer that because I don't know what her motives were. All I know is it was a very poor move, very foolish. Let's go back to listen. Also, we have another clip that I want you to hear concerning the Clintons, especially Hillary here. So please listen in.
At the end of World War II, Operation Paperclip was launched by the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, to smuggle known Nazi war criminals into the United States for recruitment into U.S. intelligence agencies. The Nazis were cleared to work in America after having their backgrounds bleached by the military. False employment histories were provided, and their previous Nazi affiliations were completely removed from the record. The OSS provided a model for the Central Intelligence Agency that was established in September 1947. The CIA specialized in propaganda, economic warfare, sabotage, and demolition. By the early 1950s, they controlled over 25 newspapers and wire agencies and had 3,000-plus employees engaged in propaganda. Journalists willing to promote the views of the CIA included members of the New York Times, Time Magazine, Newsweek, The Washington Post, and CBS Television.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting
established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We're really talking about intelligence at the highest levels of the U.S. government, setting the broad direction for the nation.
Well, Darren, it seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Now, this was Operation Mockingbird exposed during the church hearings way back in the day, and people thought, you know, it was exposed then, and they kind of wiped their hands.
Yeah, now that it's exposed, it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
Now. Right. Well, it's not over.
It's definitely not over. And now we're dealing with this propaganda coming from so many different channels. It's not just your mainstream media outlets, but also the tech companies are getting into it. Apple, Twitter, Google, Instagram, things that people can't even imagine. And if you've never been introduced to this kind of information, you have no idea how you're being controlled, and specifically this current election is being controlled.
Well, and that's the thing is a lot of people, and I've said this before on the show as well, a lot of people who don't even necessarily watch the news or read newspapers.
Okay, now what did we just learn? The clip that you heard the man being asked a question was a congressional committee and the person answering was the head of the CIA. And he was asked, do you have any people in your organization, the CIA, who are now working inside major media? Well, the answer was, we would later find out, over 1,500 people in the media, radio, television, magazines like Time Magazine, who collaborated in some form with the CIA. And it's only gotten worse, not better. Now, we do have those individuals like Seymour Hersh or Chris Hedges, both Pulitzer Prize-winning authors, who refused to be compromised, Glenn Greenwald of The Intercept, and others, Jeremy Scahill. There are good people in the media. However, there are those who work with intelligence. So when you suddenly start seeing a hit piece after a hit piece after a hit piece on a particular candidate, like, let's say, Donald Trump, but never about Clinton, you're not treating them the same. You're not looking into the backgrounds in the same way. What is that supposed to tell us? And that means that today, with all those people donating to the Clinton Foundation, that means that how likely are they to donate to the Clinton Foundation and then challenge her, show how she was responsible for Libya, and then go into Libya and take a look, and how she was responsible for our continued arms to Saudi Arabia of over $100 billion when she was in office, and then Saudi Arabia becoming the head of the UN, the United Nations Human Rights Commission. What a travesty. They were, in that year that they were given that position, they had beheaded more people in Saudi Arabia for things like homosexuality or stoning women to death and crucifying people after they had beheaded them. Very primitive actions. And as she had said earlier in her career about Wahhabism, it's a very extremist group. And yet she was enabling them. She was taking money from them. She was receiving gifts from them. Why didn't the media cover this? Why is it that on the one hand, she was personally responsible for encouraging her husband to go forward in Yugoslavia and balkanize the whole area? Why was it that the Clintons were able to bomb infrastructure, which, by the way, is in violation of the Geneva Convention and even the Nuremberg tribunals of what you're allowed and not allowed to do? For example, it is against universal law to bomb an infrastructure that is facilitating civilians, like water purification, electricity, because electricity would go to homes of civilians and to hospitals. You're not allowed to do that. And yet it was done in Iraq by her husband. And as later documents came out through the Defense Department, they knew what they were doing. They were hitting at civilians with the idea that when enough civilians in Iraq die or their children die, they'll rise up and throw Saddam Hussein out. Well, it didn't happen. 500,000 children died. Madeleine Albright, who's one of her current top voices of support, was then at the UN, or Secretary of State. She was both at one time. And she said in an interview with Leslie Stahl, yeah, it was worth it. Those 500,000 dead children, worth it. Well, that's a hard, hard neocon. If they can justify the death of 500,000 children, why is that not being brought up as a point? She says she's for women. Why is it not brought up that she has not been for the women in Yemen, where they're bombing every single thing they can bomb? They're bombing the Saudi Arabians, that we are supplying them. They're bombing with American bombs, American planes, American gunships and helicopters. And Yemen is the poorest country in the Middle East. And yet the women there, homeless, their children dead, not an outcry, nothing, no sanctions, no criticism. And apartheid in Israel, not a word. So that's also what you get when you have a close association with the media and the CIA and the neocon establishment. And it's not just Hillary. There's at least 3,000 to 5,000 additional technocrats, best and brightest, around her, because if she gets elected, they all win. I'm going to take us to how the Clintons pay their taxes, something the mainstream media seems not to be interested in.
Bill and Hillary Clinton just released their 2015 tax returns, and they present what I would call a teachable moment. In 2015, the Clintons wrote off $1,042,000 in charitable contributions. Of that, $1 million went to none other than the Clinton Family Foundation, where they get to control the flow of the money. So in 2015, 96% of the Clintons' charity went to themselves. The rest of their charitable donations from that year went to an establishment named the Desert Classic Charities. That same year, that same charity made a $700,000 donation back to the Clintons. So the Clintons donated to it, and then it donated to the Clintons. And what did they both get for it? Tax deductions. And more importantly, control of where all that money flowed. The year before, in 2014, the Clintons donated $3 million to their foundation. After themselves, the charity that received the most of the Clintons' charity was the Diplomacy Center Foundation, a charity whose board includes Henry Kissinger, Condoleezza Rice, Madeleine Albright, James Baker, Colin Powell, and, oh yeah, Hillary Clinton. So in 2014, the Clintons got a huge tax deduction for donating to themselves again, and they and their friends kept control of the millions. So that's how money flows from the Clintons back to themselves and their friends. To complete the circle, let's look at how the money flows to the Clintons. Since 2001, the Clintons have made more than $150 million from giving speeches at huge establishments. Big banks alone have paid them more than 39 times to give private speeches. So the money flows to the Clintons from schmoozy events like dinners and whatnot, where they show up and say a few words. That's what they do to get hundreds of millions of dollars. And then they turn around and take that money and donate it to themselves or their friends, where they can then recirculate that money however they want. So what we learn from the teachable moment of the Clintons' tax returns is how the 1% creates a complete circle of money flowing tightly amongst themselves, with the Clintons in control at the wheel. And it's all in the name of charity. Tonight, let's talk about that.
But don't underestimate the power of truth. Sooner or later, it arises to a level to challenge those who are utterly corrupt and in contempt of anything of value. I mentioned our archive number. This whole program, in its entirety, will be posted immediately after the show on our archives. Let me give you that archive number, because now with a telephone, you can call in and download it. We couldn't do this before. Now we can. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. Now we got some people up on the line. Let's say hello to Anna from Florida. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Gary. I would like to ask you, you mentioned about the neocons taking complete control of America. I would like to ask you, according to your knowledge, research, and predictions, how fast would you expect that? That's number one. Number two, would that cause change of a system? And if there is a change of a system, what kind of a system do you see ahead of us? Complete.
I do not see them changing the system. I see that the system is merely codifying, meaning encapsulating around a small group, about 5,000 policy wonks. These are the technocrats. These are the people from the universities brought in who work first in industry, then in government, then back in industry, back in government. And I see virtually every single major governmental agency being virtually captured in its policies, not just influenced, but captured. So they don't have to care about hiding anything because they have utterly controlled everything. They'll control the Justice Department. You haven't seen a single banker put in jail for their crimes in the last debacle. You do not see the people being stopped in profiling. You do not see a change in the incarceration rate. You do not see a deconstruction of the private prison system. It's actually increasing, because the private prison system is one of the people inside that circle of 5,000. The nuclear energy will be protected, and a lot of old reactors that should have been closed down and their license not renewed after 6 years, they'll be renewed, and they're just ticking time bombs. There'll be an escalation in a new generation of nuclear weapons that will probably be used, so then there'll be a new Cold War, and anyone who challenges it will be considered an enemy of the state. We're going into a new age of McCarthyism, and the police will become even more militarized and less tolerant, and we will seek more ways including, I believe, allowing or encouraging Israel to attack Iran. So I see a lot of problems, in which case our entire economy, when Iran is attacked, our entire economy would be adversely affected, because you don't attack Iran without also influencing China and Russia. And they have been prepared for this. So that's what I see happening. And it's going to be bad. There will not be any good from this. And they will have all the power of the media, so you will not hear the truth of anything. It'll only be on the alternative media, such as this, or Truth Out, or Common Dreams, that you'll be able to get any kind of fair and objective insights into anything. That's what's going to happen if she's elected. Okay? I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you. We do have one more person. If he's still there, Gerald, sorry that they couldn't get to you, but we'll get to you right now. Your turn. Is Gerald Hello? There?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Dad. Gerald. Your turn.
Listen.
Go ahead. I hear you.
The only thing that can stop her is that she has to be indicted. Somebody in this country, some prosecutor, be it federal or state, has to have the courage to stand up and indict this woman for her crimes.
Gerald, we cut out just now. I believe you said someone has to indict her. Well, if Julian Assange's emails are relevant and have serious information in them that can show that she lied before Congress, then Congress can indict her without going through the FBI, without going through the Justice Department. And if they tried to protect her, as our current Attorney General would, then that creates a whole firestorm in Washington, D.C. about complicity in protecting her in this episode. It depends upon the quality of the evidence against her. That is true. That can happen. And if that happens, then she is indicted. She will not win, in which case Bernie Sanders would then take her place. I thank you all for your input today. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.